Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Well, glad you came to church today. I know that God has got a word for you. If you're prepared to receive. And I think that that's part of what we have to do when we come in to places where we can hear from God is we've got to prepare our hearts to receive. That's why during worship, we want to spend time just bragging on Him and lifting up His name so that when it comes time for the word to be shared, that we can put ourselves in a position to receive. Well, and I think the worship team has done a great job this morning leading us into His presence. So, amen. Today I want to continue on what I started last Sunday. Have you ever been torn up about what you should do in a certain situation? Every one of us have. In marriage, if you're married, you've been in a situation where you're like, okay, what do I say now? I mean, the conversations went to a point, and you're like, okay, I know that if I say this, I'm going to be in trouble. And if I say this, I have admitted defeat. If I say this, I'm just going to live frustrated. And if I say this, then they win. Young people, how many times have your parents tried to convince you that their decision that they are making is the right one? And they're doing everything they can to convince you that it's the right decision. And you're living with, if I tell them I believe them, they win. If I stand my ground, I stay grounded. So sometimes we got young people who'll go ahead and admit defeat to a parent, but inwardly they never believe it. Come on, in marriage, we're right every time. We as you. But if we're going to stand our ground, life's going to be miserable. There are lines that everybody here draws, and I'm just trying to get one that hit everybody. Adult, young person, regardless, at work, situations, at school, standing in line at Walmart, everybody here has been in a situation where they're like, I know I've got a line that I'm supposed to live by in Christianity, but I'm ready to cross it right now. And so we draw lines, and we do that because as a Christian, I'm frustrated, but I've got a line I'm not going to cross, and I'm not going to get in a position where I'm going to lose. But why do we have lines? Why do we have lines? I mean, as a Christian, we have lines so that we could walk in the blessings of God. As children, you have lines that you are in so you can walk in the blessing of mom and dad. As husband and wife, we have lines so we can stay married. There's certain lines that you don't cross, and everybody has them, and you can understand them, but as a Christian, you draw a line, and it's important that you understand, where do I draw my line, and what should I do about that line with everybody else? Where do I retreat when my friends or myself draw a line that's different than the line I would have drawn? Where do I head? I mean, today, the third part in a series I started called The Dividing Line. The Dividing Line. Everybody has dividing lines in life. Where do you draw your line? Now, I just want to give you a real quick 1-2 here. There are two lines as a Christian. Really? I thought there was just one. There are two areas that you have to decide that you're going to draw lines in. Here's the first one. Biblical lines. The Bible says this, and I'm not crossing the line. Do you realize that there are a lot of different evangelical churches that are split based on a line? that they interpreted the Bible this way and they interpreted it this way. We have people that's come into this church service, and because we have instruments on stage, they think we've crossed the line. And so they're not going to be able to worship with us. They're not going to stand here. Now, you might say, well, that's just horrible. If you go into church that all they have is a piano and organ, you're going to have a line. You're going to go, I can't worship here. Or maybe you won't, because we get an understanding that there are biblical lines that people draw because of their own convictions. Here's my prayer. They have them based on the Word of God. And not just based on an opinion, but they base it on a conviction they have on how they have read the Word of God. There's a Bible line here. There's a line that the Bible has outlined. And so I can deal with someone who interprets some of the Bible possibly a little different. There's two or three differences that I have with most people. I mean, if we just talk long enough, we're going to see that I don't know that I really see that just like that. But 99.8% we pretty much agree on, and we've got Christians arguing about the point two all the time. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't have the point two that you draw a line on. See, but you got to have that based on the Word of God. Here's the second one. There are lines that you have to draw that may not be outlined specifically in Scripture, but they're outlined out of Ephesians. And I talked all about this Wednesday night. You can ask the question, not is this sin, but is it wise? See, there are lines that people draw as a Christian because it produces wisdom and the fruits of God in their life, or it doesn't. So there's a dividing line here. There's a lot of things about that in Scripture. In Scripture, it doesn't outline how you should dress on Sunday mornings, or how you should dress the way you go to work, or how you should dress at school. I mean, I know that somewhere in there, it's got to say that every school should have uniforms. You say, no, I agree. It's not. I looked. It's not. I can't find it anywhere that you're supposed to wear khaki pants and polos to school. Young people. Well, then why do we do it at CMA? Because we drew a line that we thought would produce. We see it as some wisdom. Now, when you get young people like my daughters that, and some many of you young people, that finally embraced that we have a uniform code at school and understand that it's not in the Bible, but it's a line we drew. It's not that you can't wear something other than khakis and a polo shirt. It's just a line we drew because we saw that it would be easy to get up in the morning and not have to spend 3 hours trying to pick out what you're going to wear. That's one. All I got to do is make sure it's clean. Please make sure it's clean. The other thing is it cuts down on us saying, oh, that's inappropriate, that's inappropriate, that's inappropriate, that's inappropriate, that's inappropriate. And that, no, you can't wear that. And we're not going to have that here. And so we just said, the wisdom would tell us we don't have, if we just draw a line right here, it would produce some wisdom for what we have to deal with every day for the young people and the leadership team at the church. See, there are lines you draw in life because we see wisdom in them. And I talked about it Wednesday night a lot. If you weren't here Wednesday, I really want to encourage you to get that, because I can get caught up on preaching a lot of times, and I can talk about something that I'm speaking out of Ephesians to live wise, not as unwise, is what the scriptures say. And so I'm talking about something that I can come across as this is a thus saith the Lord, but it's not a thus saith the Lord. It's just that in our culture and in the time we live in, I see that as wise. And I share it as wise, and I want to always be careful that I don't share it as sin. Not sin, I just see the wisdom in this. And so there's those two dividing lines. There are Bible lines, and our culture is trying to say that there are no Bible lines on us having marriage, one man and one woman. But I believe the Bible has a dividing line there. And so I'm going to look at that as not an opinion. I'm not going to look at it as trying to teach it from a wisdom standpoint. I'm going to say that's a dividing line for me. And in this church, we will only hold ceremonies for one man and one woman. They're getting married. I know that there is a lot of different interpretations of Scripture. I get that. But when you're standing on Scripture, you're making it a biblical line. when you're standing on a line that is going to, in your opinion, benefit your life, then you're standing on a wisdom line. When you're standing on a line that just proves you can do whatever you want, you better be careful. Do whatever. I don't have any lines. Well, you need to. Luke chapter 4, if you have your Bibles today. I want to continue on today, and I'll get more on Wednesday nights here in the next few weeks, but I want to talk today about a Bible line, some Bible lines. Jesus was real clear in what he did in Luke chapter 4 when he was tempted by Satan. Let's read that together. In verse 1 of Luke 4, it says, "Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Then the devil said to him, 'If you're the Son of God, tell the stone to become a loaf of bread.' But Jesus told him, 'Nope.'" He didn't say nope, he said no. "The scriptures say people do not live by bread alone. Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. 'I'll give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them,' the devil said, 'because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you will worship me.' Jesus replied, 'The scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him.' Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, 'If you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone.' Jesus responded, 'The scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God.' When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came." Church, I want you to know this scripture talks about an encounter with Jesus and the devil. We've got to see it right here as we read this as a personal example from Jesus on how to win over the devil's attacks that he throws at us all the time. Come on, we're all the time getting thrown attacks by the devil, and we have an example of how to win. Let me just take this. You know how to set up the dividing line. Devil, you're not going to win because I got a line here that I'm not crossing, and you can't tempt me to cross it. And we talked a lot last week about how Jesus was tempted as a man. Yes, he was God, but he was resisting the devil as man. He was resisting the devil as a man, and he was tempted in his body, in his soul, mind. He was tempted in his spirit. Now, as we have physical desires in our body, there is a lot of things we are tempted by physically. We all have physical desires, and it may not be turning stone into bread, although I like that one. I have been out and been really hungry, and I thought, wow, that would be cool. Stone just become bread. Oh, okay, now I'm satisfied. But we all have physical desires that we are tempted by every day. And there are some that are natural desires, shelter and protection. See, we need that. We need food. We need transportation. In the culture we live in, we need transportation. And you just have to have a few of times where your car breaks down that you are having a physical want for a new car. I know. We've all been there. This piece of junk, I'm ready to throw it away. Just, I'm going to go buy a brand new one. And we're tempted to go do that. We're tempted for a new house. Tired of this house. Everything's falling apart. Tempted to buy a new gun. I'm tempted by that all the time. Tempted to buy a new boat. Tempted to buy new clothes. Come on, ladies. New clothes. I mean, I need some of them. We're all the time finding areas that we're in need of. A new lawnmower. Not right now because the grass isn't needing mowed. But just wait till spring. And you didn't put a battery tender. Little side note, if you haven't done that, you might want to. It makes your batteries last longer. Nope, Pastor, I'm just wanting to buy a new battery. See, the devil gets us when we are motivated to prove ourselves to either other people or to ourselves. See, I've got to prove to me that I can have the best of the best. Jesus wasn't tempted by the bread, even though he was really hungry. He wasn't tempted by that because he knew he was in God and he knew his purpose and he didn't have to prove anything to the enemy. Man, if we could get a hold of that principle, we ain't got to prove no one to, I mean, prove to no one what I have or what I have capability of providing or what I have possession of. We don't have to prove to nobody and we don't have to prove to ourselves if we know who we are in Jesus. If we just know who we are in God, we talked all about that last week. Possessions will never make you who you are to people or to yourself. Let me say that again because you need to know that. Possessions will never make you who you are to people or who you are to yourself. And we got to be able to draw the line and say, well, I know who I am in Jesus. So the first point was last week, and I said material possessions don't make you somebody. Now, the physical temptation that the enemy gave to Jesus was then very, very appealing, but no, he resisted it. And Jesus did that to prove, as a man, you can too. Now, the physical is hard, but so is the mental. That soul temptation, man, it's tough. It's tough. The devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. In a moment of time, he said, all of this. You know, when you're insecure, you'll do things to become popular. When you're insecure and you think nobody, you're going to do something so you can fit in. The drive to fit in and to be accepted is big. I watch it at the workforce. I watch it in school. I watch, boy, when insecurity sets in, we can be pushed outside of where we would have originally drawn a line. Now, I have a line there, except for at work, I need everybody to like me. So we'll go over and we'll start laughing at jokes we would have never laughed at church. See, it wouldn't even been told at church. But now I got a line here, and I'll act one way at church, or I'll act one way around God's people, or act one way around my family, but when I'm at work, I'm acting a little different. See, we move lines for acceptance. Come on, are you hearing me today? We're going to move line in college. The biggest thing that happens between the graduation of high school and then the entrance of college is that young people don't have enough of a foundation built to where they get into another environment, and that culture or that environment will cause them to compromise lines that they had set when they were younger. I watch it all the time. How do you watch it? You watch it on Facebook. Social media shows you a lot. People that used to have lines that they wouldn't cross then get in another culture and environment, and because of their need to be accepted, they blur or they just get rid of their line. The devil gave him the glory, gave Jesus the opportunity for the glory of a kingdom. The devil has the ability to get you into kingdoms. The reason the drug problem is so big is because you wouldn't believe the acceptance of people in the drug world. It's just like this club. When you get in, you're accepted. You just, I can handle this now because I've got other people who are dealing with the same thing I am. And I just, the devil has the ability to get you in to places that you would have never been in had you made some biblical lines. See, the enemy wants you looking at people, wants you looking at status. They want you to understand, the devil wants you to understand that you can have fulfillment in a relationship outside of Christ. Know this, you'll never find the fulfillment in any relationship until you get fulfilled with Jesus. And that's important for people to know. Pressure for popularity is never, ever a good thing. For this group to accept you, the crisis of insecurity will cause you to have you make decisions and act upon them where you would have never done had you established and lived by a dividing line. I got to have a dividing line here. And as a Christian, the next day you're frustrated that you involved yourself. And then before long you do it again. And then before long you start getting to a place where you're not frustrated at crossing that line, because the line becomes blurred. When you do things for Christ, not for the acceptance of others, then that allows you to have a dividing line. We've got to have Christians walking secure in Jesus. Come on, we got to have Christians walking secure in Christ. Not trying to find their security in a member of the opposite sex. Not finding their security in how you're viewed at work. So the first point that I had, which I said last week, was material possessions don't make you somebody. But the second point that I want you to get that Jesus was tempted by was being popular by the kingdom, by having some authority, by having some popularity. And so the second point I want you to get today is popularity does not make you somebody. Possessions don't, and popularity don't. Verse 9, then the devil took him to Jerusalem, the highest point of the temple, and said, if you're the Son of God, jump off. Just jump off. The angels will hold you up. They'll take care of you. You won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Just jump off. Here's the third and last point. You go, boy, this is good. I'm going to talk about it for a while. The third point is performance will not make you somebody. Performance will not make you somebody. You don't have to perform some feat so that you're somebody. Now, I can really illustrate this with young people, but this goes for every age. Performance doesn't have to make you somebody. The pressure to do something outrageous will move people past their dividing line. Whoa, I would never do that, except for you just did. So I would never do that, and you just did, because you didn't set your dividing line and you didn't live by it. Oh, come on. Come on. You can do this. You got to try it. Come on. You got to try it just this once. Come on. I love, love, love agging people on. But I even love it more when they say, no. Got a dividing line here. I'm not aggravating them on into sin now. But I like aggravating them when we go four-wheeling and it's really muddy. Come on, you can cross that. Rob Henson was one of my favorite ones. I got video. Come on, you can cross that. You can do that. Watching some of these others try to cross. Come on, you can do this. Any of you guys that are down there, say, leave that down there. Don't even talk about it. But you know what I'm talking about. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. Cross this line. Cross this line. And you do it. No. No. One of my favorite lines is when somebody says, you got to try this. Come on, come on, you got to try this. I'm not moved by peer pressure. And really what they don't know is I'm telling them that I'm not moved because I'm trying to establish my line and tell it myself. Then I'm not moved by peer pressure because everything's in me. I know I could do it. I know I could do it. I know I could get across that mud. I know I could. And if I don't, I got a winch. And if not, I mean, I can get across this thing. Come on, I got to try it. I got to try it. But I'm not moved by peer pressure. And what I'm doing is I'm telling myself and I'm telling them I got a line. You don't have to perform to be somebody. Young people, you don't have to drive fast. Just to show off or to show out or to prove to somebody, come on, speed up. You don't have to drive crazy to be somebody. Oh, come on, try it, try it. Come on, are you scared? No, I'm not. I watched, and you got to know today, I'm not talking about a sin issue here. But if you make a dividing line and the Lord has helped you make that dividing line and then you cross it, you have then walked into a sin issue. And I watched when I was in high school, there was a big party down at the lake and I went. There was some things going on at this party that they shouldn't have been partaking in. And I went down there because I was going to be the Christian example. All I was made fun of. I didn't cross any lines, but my line didn't encourage them. So I'm down there, but one of the funniest things I saw while I was there was this young man had just bought this new Toyota, and it was really sharp. And he had a lift kit put on it and then big old mud tires. Now keep in mind, we're down at the lake, and there is a cove of water. And they had been having different ones cross the cove of water, and they had a starting point to get across it and get to the other side. And there's a few of them that had done it, and he had the highest lift kit. And they just kept agging him on and on and on. And he goes, no. I just bought this truck. And everybody knew he didn't buy that truck. His parents bought that truck. But they were agging him and that. Come on, you put a lift kit on it higher and everybody's here. You can cross this. Finally, kept on and on and on. And he got in there and he took off across this cove further out into the lake than anybody else has. What he didn't know and all them knew was there was a little valley right there underneath the water that when he hit it, his whole truck went under. He didn't have any snorkels or anything on it, and it didn't come out. Praise God, he did. Got back up, got back over to the side. They were all cheering him on and laughing at him. He had a dividing line, but the pressure for popularity and the pressure for performance caused him to smear his dividing line and ruin this truck. I stayed long enough for the tow truck to come. And I remember everybody else left, and I stayed there and I said, man, I'm so sorry. That was tough. That was tough. For the next week or two at school, it was all that was talked about. He was made fun of. And what his attempt was to gain popularity by his performance and by his possession, ended up causing him more defeat than if he'd have stood on his line. Young people, the desire to drive fast comes when you got somebody else with you saying, come on, try it, try it, try it. And sometimes there's people in the car that had a line and said, I wouldn't do that, I wouldn't do that, I wouldn't do that. And then you're there and they drive faster than what you would have, or you know they're getting ready to. If you can stand up, young people, and say, whoa, 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 stop. I want you to stop for just a second. Hold on, just stop for a second and get out of the car. And we're in a day and time that prayerfully you have a cell phone and maybe your cell phone don't have internet, but it has the ability to call. And you're like, well, I can't call my parents. I want to encourage you to call me or Michelle. We will come get you right then. I'll do anything I can to keep young people having a dividing line that will let them live and not die. I'm tired of the enemy blurring out what young people should have as dividing lines. And the only way you can set those is when you know that you're on divine assignment. See, I'm on divine assignment and I know who I am in God. Your parents didn't choose you, God did. God did. You're not here by accident. God chose you to be here, and you need to know that he needs you to live by some dividing lines with him. And with him, you can set those up. You can set them up. There's no pressure for you to perform when you're secure in who you are in Jesus. There was no temptation that was then given into by Jesus because he knew that he was sent by God. And when he knew he was sent by God, he didn't give in to the temptation to prove that he was somebody. And the enemy knows that that would have defeated him, and then he wouldn't have been able to fulfill his purpose. I don't want you to not be able to fulfill your purpose. Enjoy what God has called you to be. Do your best. Know that your best or your worst does not determine your identity. Jesus does. Material possessions don't make you somebody. Popularity don't make you somebody. And performance does not make you somebody. A couple things I want to point out based on the scripture we just read today. Just some bullet points here that I think are really important to kind of signify to us out of scripture how there are things that we've got to have as biblical dividing lines. And these are not just concepts. They're how we live. Well, you should. Jesus is there in this position in the wilderness. You go right back to Luke chapter 4, verse 1. The Spirit led him. The Spirit will lead you into places that then have you have to set up the dividing line. The Spirit led me here. Now I'm facing myself with a line. I get that. Just make sure the Spirit led you. And when the Spirit led you, the Spirit will empower you. If the Spirit's leading you, the Spirit will empower you. Oftentimes your temptations come when you are right where you've been led by God to be. The temptations come when you're right there being led by God. Are you kidding me? Why am I tempted here? I'm in a Christian school. I shouldn't be tempted. God led you to be here. There will be temptations right where God led you to be. Why? Because that's where he empowers you to overcome. We live in a fallen world. Fallen things happen in a fallen world. But he didn't leave us fallen. Come on, he didn't leave us fallen. That's why we have Jesus. He restored. He came in and made possible what we couldn't. Another thing I want to point out, Jesus didn't have anybody else around when he was tempted. It's him and the devil. There wasn't nobody else around. What's that have to do with anything? You don't always have to bring everyone else into your battle. Come on, hear this. You don't have to bring everybody else into your battle. Are you kidding me? What about prayer of agreement? There are times for that. I get that. But God has empowered you to be an overcomer. And in that situation where Jesus was, he found himself alone and he was led into that being alone. And he didn't have to prove to anyone around him. He needed to know who he was in Jesus and who he was in God. He was Jesus and he was experiencing what he was experiencing and what he was in dealing with. He was experiencing all of that with the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome. I love this. Jesus knew scripture and he applied the dividing line based on scripture. He applied the dividing line based on, it's one thing to know the Bible, and it's another thing to know the Bible and then make the application of the word into your life. A lot of people know the Bible, but they don't make the application of the word. I was preaching a funeral a week ago, and it was a 90-year-old prayer warrior. I'm talking about prayer warrior. She had pictures of her family in the back of the church, and I mean, all of these people were giving testimony to the life of this 90-year-old woman. What they were all saying was that she was super, super religious. That's some of what they said. But they didn't even understand what they were saying, because religion is man's approach to God, but Christianity is God's approach to man. And what I love about that is that she's just a really religious. One of her grandkids said she was just a religious nut. But when she would pray for me, things would change. She's a religious nut that when she would pray for me, things would change. God's approach to man. She wasn't a religious nut. She was a Christian battle fierce warrior. I'm telling you, I sit there and I watched what was said about her, and it was amazing. Her family said so many things, but then I heard one little area in her armor that I was like, oh man, she suffered from depression. And I thought, I never saw that. I mean, I've known her for almost 20 years and I just always saw this sweet lady who was always asking what it was in my life that I needed prayer for, prayer warrior. But I found out she suffered from depression. And I thought, she's a Christian and she had anxiety and depression, and she had a place where she had shared at one point with her family and with her kids that she was really being attacked by the enemy, and it was a horrible attack, and she just felt like she didn't have any purpose and she didn't know what to do. And she went to this meeting, and this meeting was hosted by a thing called Recovery International. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's a psychological society that was formed to help people that were dealing with psychological issues. Well, at this meeting place, her daughter had said, and what she had shared with the people at the funeral, she said that she learned that she could make her muscles do tasks even when her mind didn't feel like it or her feelings weren't necessarily factual. Let's say that again. She could make her muscles, she learned this. She could make her muscles do tasks even when her mind didn't feel like it. or when her feelings weren't necessarily factual. You say, well, wait a minute here. I know how I'm feeling, and the fact is that's how I'm feeling. I understand that. And you're being led by the fact of your feeling. When you get to a place to understand that your feelings aren't always factual, then you don't have to be led by them. And when you get to a place to understand your muscles can do tasks even when your mind doesn't feel like doing that task. You know, you can get out of bed when you don't feel like getting out of bed. Oh, I don't know that I feel like this. And so she was sharing that with her kids. She was sharing that she had battled this. And when she decided that the facts that she was going to make factual to her could only come from the Word of God, she said, I started watching myself come out of that. I just started reading the Word, and the facts from the Word become how I live, not my feelings or not how my mind said I felt. See, she allowed the Word to be bigger than she allowed herself to be. She allowed the Word to be bigger than herself, and then she allowed herself then to follow the Word, and the Word became her worth. Whoa! I heard this and I thought, that I'm going to share with the church. I told her family, I can't wait to share this with our church. This is profound. See, I was in the middle of the funeral preaching, and it hit me right in the middle of the funeral. I'm up there preaching right in the middle of the funeral. I hadn't wrote any of this down. And I remember her saying, Ashley, what is it that I can pray for you about? And this was in 2004. And I said, well, my wife and I are praying about starting a church. We just really feel like God has called a church to be in Southwest Missouri called Christian Ministries Church. And I don't know how it's going to be accepted, and I don't have everything figured out, but we just need some prayer warriors. And I said, every time I would go up to Kansas City and visit with her and her husband, she'd say, we've been praying about the church. I've got it on my prayer wall. How's it going? How's it going? How's it going? How's it going? And it hit me right in the middle of this funeral that she had been praying for this church. I hadn't even written this down. Since 2004, one of the first people that knew anything about it. And I, right in the middle of the funeral, I got teary-eyed, and I just said, you know what? I want to tell y'all something about your grandma, about your mom, and about your wife. She'd been praying for something for a long time that now has a Christian school, and now that has people that come from different communities around the area, and people are getting saved, people are getting baptized, and they've been doing it now for 15 years. And I can't tell you right now how much I appreciate that we had a prayer warrior that didn't know anybody here but was praying for every one of you. She didn't let the areas that the world wanted to move her thinking on get her. She let the Word move her thinking. And it changed her life. And praise God, she'd been praying for this church till right there at the end of her life, and she went on to see Jesus. Come on, when you get some dividing lines set up by the Word, it changes how you operate. Look at this Bible. We'll put this Bible up on the screen. I took a picture of it just because I thought it was cool. You turn the, well, you don't have light access there. But I don't know if you can see that, but I can see it from here. I said, what's her favorite scripture? She said, I don't know. Go back here and look on the table. See if you can find one. This Bible was underlined like this and highlighted on every page. And I thought, good grief. Just highlighted, underlined? Which one's good for you? I don't know, verse 13 in chapter 2. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I thought, whatever you outline right there, you just one scripture after another, she knew, and it became a dividing line for her. And when her kids would come up and say, would you pray for me? And she'd say, yep. And then they'd start watching things change. When grandma would pray, things had changed. Why? Because she had a dividing line, and she wasn't going to let what the world said she was no good at become her identity. She let the word become her identity. When your Bible starts looking something like that, you'll have way too many verses to outline your life. The word of God starts outlining your life. Just the whole thing. See, when you do that and you're in a fight with Satan and he's dangling something right in front of you, you get God's purpose by what's already in you. God's purpose is already in my heart, and I'm not tempted to drive my Toyota truck across. See, you're not tempting me to do something that I've set up a dividing line. No. My purpose is in Jesus, not in being popular, not in my possessions, and it's not in my performance. Did you get anything out of that today? I pray that this changes the way we operate, because we've got to have some dividing lines that are based on the Word of God. So come on, some biblical dividing lines. It says, I'm not crossing that.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.